I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. There was a time in our history in which human beings would, from time to time, encounter and communicate with each other in an archaic fashion that predates the text, and the cell phone, and the landline, and the rotary dial, and sign language, and Morse code. It was something we called the letter. Some of you perhaps remember receiving one of these ancient things. Not a note or a card, but several tri-fold pages of loose-leaf paper pressed upon with some pen. Line after line of cursive text expressing thoughts, feelings, and happenings of late. Letters communicate a state of affairs in one sense or another. They communicate the character and intention and will of the one who writes. And while it is true that we have developed new forms of communication, and boy have we, there is something special about a letter. Centuries and centuries ago, the letter was the main means of communication. And as evidence, indeed almost the entire New Testament is in reality a box of letters. We read today from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. The Roman church was one that St. Paul had never visited at the time of his writing, and though with apologies and excuses, St. Paul appears to regret that he had not yet made the journey to see them, he nevertheless communicates to them perhaps the most important message ever to be written in a letter. And in this letter, St. Paul lays out the foundation of Christian theology and an understanding of the nature of salvation in Christ. The sense that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The sense that all have fallen in the first Adam, but that in the second Adam, Jesus Christ, all may be saved. And where once death, sin, and law reigned, now death and condemnation have been conquered in Christ. By the time we reach the 8th chapter, which we've heard from today, St. Paul has already opened his heart to the Romans and confessed many things, but also that he has been very frustrated, and not with them, but frustrated with himself. For the good that I would do, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity with the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now a few verses later in the passage that we've heard from today, we see the situation laid down in stark terms. After the fall, the creature, that's you and everything else created, was made subject to vanity. A word that finds an equivalent in the book of Ecclesiastes, meaning meaninglessness. A few hundred years after St. Paul, the Christian church had been reading his letter throughout all the reaches of the world where the apostles and their successors had brought it. And in one place where the gospel held special sway, the monks of the desert of Egypt, who had gone out into the desert, had done so with the understanding that their interaction with people would be extremely limited, perhaps as little as one conversation per week. For many of those, the influence of their abbot was crucial. Without a full copy of the scriptures for themselves, each week would be spent in meditation upon the word that the abbot gave, a scripture, a parable, an assignment for the spiritual life of the inner man. One of those monks was named Evagrius, one of the few that I've had the opportunity to study in depth, and he makes mention of a letter. And this time not the letter found in our scriptures, that of St. Paul or St. Peter or St. James, but a letter in creation itself. Listen to the words of his letter about the letter, his letter to Melania. He said, "For those who are far from God have made a separation between themselves and their Creator by their loathsome works. But God, out of his love, has provided creation as a mediator. It is like letters. He did this through his power and wisdom, that is, by the Son and the Spirit. They write the letter into creation, in order that men might come to know and draw closer to his love for them. And not only do they come to know the love of God, the Father, through creation, but also his power and his wisdom, just as someone who reads letters, by their beauty, senses the power and ability of the hand and the finger which wrote them, together with the intention of the writer. Thus, he who looks upon creation with understanding perceives the hand and the finger of its creator, as well as his intention, that is, his love. In short, creation is a love letter." And you might ask, what is that supposed to mean? Are you saying it's true that the friend of mine who doesn't come to church but always says that he communes with God in nature on Sunday, hunting or golfing, that he's right? That he's receiving the love of God by staring at leaves or waiting for a deer to come within range that he can pop? I suppose it's possible God can do whatever he wants, but according to the letter of St. Paul to the Romans, that person sitting in the tree stand will not find God in nature, but will find nature pointing him onward to God. St. Paul writes that those who consider nature long enough and look closely enough with understanding sense not that God is in nature, far less that God is nature, but that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. In the fall, the creature was made subject to vanity, emptiness, impermanence, frustration, incompleteness. After the fall, the words of the one who subjected the creature to vanity said, "And unto Adam, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return." Not only mankind, but all creation becomes subject to vanity. So maybe we shall not achieve peace in the deer stand on Sunday mornings. St. Paul writes that the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same, in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. The message of all creation, and even of our own frustration and impermanence and emptiness and incompleteness and confusion, is at the heart of the love letter of God written right into his creation. All things finding futility and vanity in themselves are forced to preach the gospel, including all of the disappointment and illness and broken dreams of your own life. They all join in chorus together, pointing us onwards, as if to say at once, it is the eternal love of God, it is not I. Not upon us should your hope be set, and not for us should a longing for fullness and weight and substance and glory be dulled and pressed down. All things are subject to the same vanity in hope. What hope? Such hope in God that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be even compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. The love letter of God written to us in creation itself is a difficult one to read and a painful one at times, but you must read it carefully and well and gather the meaning of the one who writes it to you. Have you found in your body and in your circumstance groaning, travailing, earnest expectation? Then you are reading the letter. Do you understand it? Can you hear the message of even your own body directing you onwards to the love of God? Saying to you one day, your own body is saying it to you, one day, no matter how tight your grip, you will have to let go of this body, of your situation, of your comfortable surroundings, and of all that you've worked for. You'll have to let go. And if that makes you angry and sorrowful, make it only slightly angry and sorrowful. For all creation's been telling you the same message since the day you were born. Look onward. Look upward. There is vanity and meaninglessness here and now, but there is a letter. For those who are in Christ, who walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh, there is glory to be revealed in you. There is no condemnation. There is no vanity. There is hope. And you too will be delivered from the bondage of the corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Saying with St. Paul, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. We who are in Christ Jesus, we who know the love of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.